It is wonderful to see you today, and I appreciate very much you being a part of our services here today. I am certain that we have some great visitors with us in person, but I also know that we are at a time when we are also having visitors online again. And so, members and visitors alike, thank you very much for being a part of our services today. Thank you for bearing with us when it comes to making some adjustments. What we're trying to do as an eldership is to make sure that we are safe, that we are able to remain in worship together, and certainly I am thankful to be here today. I do not have to go into a lot of details, nor time will permit me to go into a lot of details to remind you of how great yesterday was. If you were able to be here, you're well aware of that. If you were not, then just ask somebody that was. Thank you very much to Justin and his family for helping us tremendously. I believe it's one of the banner days for Azalea City Church of Christ yesterday in our history. We've had a lot of great history here. But Justin, thank you for your passion and your energy and your determination. And for everyone else's generosity to get this going. Two wells will be going in, and I believe that's pretty awesome, and certainly hope that more can happen in the near future. Along the lines of great things that happen, this upcoming Last to Leader season is kicking off, and certainly we want you to be well aware of what Last to Leaders Leaderettes is, if you're not. And so with that, on August the 22nd, we'll be having our Sunday afternoon for the Master. And in connection with that, I believe we'll be kicking off our Last Leader season. And so I want you to know that if you are a parent or a grandparent or a child, and you automatically just said, no, we're not doing it because we're not going to convention, that's okay. We are not, listen, there are certainly things that are convention necessary, okay? And there are certainly going to be opportunities for those to go to convention. But last year, we didn't any of us go to convention. We still did great in Bible Bowl and had some other great things. And so please know, this is a great ministry. And there are going to be things that have to happen for convention. And so convention will be mentioned. But at the end of the day, we want this to be a ministry for our children and for our families. So please come and be a part of Last Leaders Leaderettes. It is great stuff. It really is. And it has great categories and events that can really benefit us as Christians. Wisdom. The more I look around, the more, not in this room, in society, the more I believe there are those who lack wisdom. There are a lot of foolish things that happen in life. There are a lot of foolish decisions that are made. And so what I want to encourage us to do is look at it from a godly perspective on what we can do to elevate our wisdom in God. Today, the worst thing we can do is know everything about everything on this earth and know nothing about God. You see, today, it's not about how much we know from an earthly standpoint. It's about how much we know from a biblical standpoint. It's about how much we know about God. It's about how much we know of His Word. It's about how much we know of His church. See, wisdom in God is essential to salvation. Knowing God, believing God, having hope in God, having a relationship with God is essential. Now, I am surrounded by a lot of smart people, and I'm thankful for that, because you are smart when it comes to your job, when it comes to your performance. Some of you are some of the critical people on this earth when it comes to medicine and when it comes to other things. But at the end of the day, what I'm more proud of you is that you know Jesus Christ, and you know God Almighty. Jesus warns us a few times in the Bible about having wisdom of men. In fact, in Matthew 16, verse 6, He said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That leaven, he talked about a little bit of it, can spoil the whole bunch, right? A little bit of leaven can spoil the whole thing. He was talking and warning about the wisdom of the scribes and Pharisees. They were very smart people. They would have been the top of their class when it came to law, when it came to professing law, to knowing law. But at the end of the day, he warned his disciples about their wisdom. Don't get involved with it. He really warned about being wise in the sight of man in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And you all are brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, He who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Do not be wise in your own eyes, Jesus said. Do not be wise in the sight of others so that you can get great pats on the back and build yourself up. Be wise in the eyes of Christ. That's what the warning was about. Long before Jesus, hundreds of years before Christ, Solomon is referred to as the wisest man who ever lived. He was concerned about people receiving their knowledge from wrong sources. In fact, Solomon made this very plain by his inspiration in the writing of the book of Proverbs. Most of the Proverbs are wise sayings written by Solomon. A number of those Proverbs teach us how to apply the Word of God into our daily lives. Why do we call Solomon the wisest man who ever lived? We call him that because 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, we have these words recorded. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be counted or numbered. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and not have asked for long life yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice," in other words, wisdom. "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. I believe this scripture of all scriptures shows us the most important thing in life is not how much we own. It's not how big a house we have, how big a car we have, how big a boat we have, how big a food budget we have, how big a closet we have, how big a fill in the blank, right? The most important thing, according to God, that we could ask today is, God, how can I know you better? You see, here I've been a Christian now for quite a while. I became a Christian at 16 years old, and here I am today at almost 44. And so with that being said, I think about my life and I think about where I am and where I need to be. And I haven't arrived. I need to know God even better. So what does God want from me? He wants a desire. He wants a desire for my heart to know His heart better. He wants a desire for my mind to know His mind better. He wants a desire for my knowledge to know His knowledge better. And He wants that for all of us today. So today, now again, God gave Solomon it all because He thought he was wise enough to handle it. Solomon made some foolish decisions, really, really foolish decisions. But at the end of the day, we learned the lesson that Solomon had that magic lamp, right? That magic lamp that he could rub and out came one wish. What do you wish for? What do you desire? He didn't desire money. He didn't desire fame. He got those things. He desired wisdom. Today it is my prayer that you desire wisdom. That we elevate our knowledge of God. We elevate our relationships with God. Solomon said this, "The words of the wise are like riddles." Proverbs 1 verse 6. The word riddle in that particular verse was not something that only a few people could understand the way we think of riddles today. In fact, it was something that would take wisdom from God and His Word to be able to understand. Think about that today. You know what people think we're doing is crazy? They think, oh, wanting to know God is crazy? In fact, I could look at it as an insult, but along the way, I'd met people at Michelle's work. These are the highest of educated people. I mean, they have PhDs and doctorate degrees in education, and they wanted to know what prestigious seminary I went to. Because in order in their eyes to be something special, you had to be highly educated with the best of education. And listen, I'm not knocking education at the end of the day. Go and get it. Get as smart as you can. That's fine. But don't forget God. You see, because at the end of the day, people think that what I'm doing is silly if my degree comes from little old Fulton University. And they think that you giving up this life and giving up that life is silly and foolish. You want to do that? You want to go to church instead of doing this? Are you crazy? But remember, they can't understand it. Because it's a riddle to them. It's a riddle to them because the only way to understand it is to know God and to know His Word. The light bulb's gone off in us, right? We know God. We know His Word. So it's not a riddle to us anymore. It's revealed. It's true. God instructs Paul as he writes to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 to study to show thyself approved. We know the book can be understood. We know that God's desire is not for us to be confused. So, therefore, we've got to open it. We've got to study it. God's plan has been revealed and can be properly applied to all of our lives. But if we don't study it, if we don't apply it, then we're making some very foolish decisions. Do we want to be wise? Sure we do. Do we want to understand God's Word? Sure we do. then we need to understand what it means to be wise in God's eyes. Number one, a wise person knows the value of God's truth. In order to be wise today, I need to understand and know the value of the truth of God. Proverbs 13:7, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. It's a pretty cool saying there, isn't it? Pretty powerful saying. I can have all the money in the world and have nothing, but I can be the poorest of poor and have tremendous riches. It's all the way I look at my relationship with God, my knowledge of God, my wisdom of God. Time doesn't permit us to turn and read Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. But remember this, that rich young ruler, he had known the Scriptures from his youth. He had known the Scriptures and kept the law from his youth. Jesus looked at him, he loved him, he said, there's one thing you lack. You really want to be wise? You really want to be my disciple? Do this. Sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. But the man walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. As rich as he was, he ended up being very poor. Now, I hope one day he changed that. We don't have knowledge of it. But wouldn't that be some sad news for us today? To me, that's a very sad story. This young man came for spiritual knowledge, but he allowed his earthly wealth to keep him from receiving it. Today, what did you come for? I hope you came with a desire and a thirst, as Justin talked about in Psalm 42. I hope that you came for a thirst of God's Word. I hope you came, as Rhett read to us from Psalm 46, to be still and know that He is God. But at the end of the day, if we're not careful, we can allow the earth, we can allow the world, we can allow life to take the place of our knowledge. There's great value in wealth. However, the knowledge of God's truth is priceless. You can look at a man today and you can say they are very wealthy, and there's some very wealthy people in this world. Very wealthy. But do they know Jesus Christ? If they don't know Jesus Christ, they're very poor. And we can say the same about us. We cannot allow the ways and knowledge of the world to keep us from following God and discovering His truth. Truth that leads to victory. Jesus Christ said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's great value in the Word of God. And a wise person knows that. Secondly, this morning, a wise person will welcome instruction. A welcome instruction. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. In other words, they want to tell you everything about them. They want to tell you everything they know. That's a fool. A wise person will listen and learn. Solomon's son, Rehoboam. 1 Kings chapter 12. Solomon is not far from being on this earth. He tries to remind his son some wise things. Solomon at this point, I believe, had left all the foolish behind, and he's getting back to the wise man and making wise decisions that he should. He wasted a lot of years, but he got it right in the end. But he's telling his son, 1 Kings 12, verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? First of all, that is a great thing to do. When you want to know how to talk to somebody, you want to know how to deal with a situation, seek wise counsel. That's a great thing Rehoboam's doing. I'm very proud of Rehoboam for seeking wise counsel. That's a wise thing to do. Here's what they wisely tell him. They spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Boy, if we end that right there and Rehoboam does it, he's one of the greatest kings who's ever lived. But you don't know much about Rehoboam, do you? Oh, well, we know one thing. The kingdom divided under Rehoboam. The whole kingdom of God divided. You know why? Because he made some foolish decisions. And here's what he did. Verse 8, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. He rejected the wise counsel of those wise elders. He listened to his buddies, the young men that grew up with him. He taxed the people even more, and it led to the division of the kingdom of Israel. A wise person will welcome instruction. Rehoboam was unwilling to welcome instruction. We need to listen and welcome wisdom that is shared with us. I've been so blessed in my life to be around wise Christians who have shared wise things with me that I in return try to share with others. For all of those, I'm so thankful. For all of those who are still here, I'm so thankful. The worst thing I could do is not listen to them. The worst thing I could do is listen to the world, to listen to those earthly buddies. When people's trying to love you, when they're trying to save your soul, how about let's lower our foolishness and elevate our wisdom? Thirdly, this morning, a wise person will flee from evil. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on it. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever bright unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Listen to these phrases. Do not enter. Do not walk. Avoid it. Turn away. Pass on. Sounds like Solomon, at least on this occasion, understood the dangers of evil. Now, he should have taken his own advice. He should have listened to the Holy Spirit that was directing him. He flirted and gave in to so many evil things. Those evil things lead to destruction. Solomon listened to his foolish wisdom rather than his wise wisdom from God. Now, at the end of the day, he said it was all vanity. It was all emptiness. It was all meaningless. And he told us to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That's very wise. But what happens is sometimes we think we've got it figured out. And instead of getting closer to God, we drift away from God. Isn't it amazing when trouble comes, a lot of times instead of people running to God, they run away from God. And that's what happens in the church. That's what happens in life. And it's really sad. You know what's really sad to me? I wouldn't say get on to, I think that's too strong a word, but try to counsel someone who's a lot older than me, who's making a lot dumber decisions than me, okay? A lot more foolish decisions. And instead of me being the one listening to them, I'm having to be the one who counsels them. That should not be happening, but it happens in the church. There are people that have grown up in the kingdom, and they're as far away from God as they've ever been. Why, when I get older, do I get further away from God? That would be a terrible thing to do. Because chances are I've got less days than I did when I was young. We have no idea how many days we have. But according to those 74% statistics that Jason made up, You see, we have got to understand that making wise decisions is growing closer to God and further away from evil. James taught us this: resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Paul warned, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, resisted and resisted. But it came a point in time when I believe he couldn't resist anymore, so you know what he did? He ran. He ran away. Sometimes we need to just run. Run away from sin. Run away from the evil one. And run closer to God. Evil, sin, the world, the devil, whatever we want to call it, it leads to heartache and ultimately it leads to hell. So we should do whatever it takes to avoid it. A wise person would do that. Finally this morning, a wise person will find pleasure, not in evil, but in righteousness. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. It is a real danger to engage in sinful behavior. I haven't taught you anything new with that statement. We know it, right? It is a real danger to engage in sinful behavior. It makes sense. If a person's in sin and unwilling to get out of that sin, they're in real danger. But it's also a danger in finding pleasure in others who do the same. Romans chapter 1, beginning in 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's foolish, right? God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. What a list. I mean, what a list of people that made foolish decisions, that God gave them over to a foolish mind. Verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. And we all know that. We know that those things will lead you to hell, but that's not all he said. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's the one we've got to be careful of.
I think we're all
wise people. I don't think we'd be here today if we didn't want to make wise decisions. But we also got to remember we can't find joy in those who are practicing those things. We can't be entertained by those things. We can't allow those things to creep into our lives. To this day, even in a day when sin is, everything's glorified but Jesus Christ in the world's sins. Everything is acceptable. Everything goes except Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that? In today's society, when that's the case, we as Christians have got to rise above it. Just because the rest of the world's being entertained by it, we can't. Wise people find pleasure, not in sin, but in righteousness. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. If we're going to be wise in God's eyes, then we will find pleasure in doing His will and by associating with those who have the same desire. God was, God still is, and God always will be in complete control. If we are going to be wise, we will surrender all to Him. We have control of ourselves if we're making foolish decisions. In order to make wise decisions, I will surrender to the One who's in complete control. Today, the most foolish decision I can make is to leave here being in control of me. Being in control of foolish decisions. Today, the wisest thing I could do is surrender the control of self to the control of God. Today, if Solomon could speak to us, he's already done it through his writings. But he'd say, you remember that time when I made and asked that great question about being wise? He said, then I made a lot of foolish decisions. Don't waste those years. Today, if you made a lot of foolish decisions, it's time to quit wasting those years. Hey, do you have a past? Yeah, so do I. But the blood of Jesus has wiped that past away. I've made some dumb decisions in my life, but the greatest I've ever made is to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Today, you can make that wise decision. And we encourage you to do so. Right now, together, we stand and sing.